podcast this morning. Sue?
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And Halloween Man?
Good morning.
Good morning. Okay. We've established the guidelines here, the rules by which we play. This display is it's called a vintage Halloween display. Let's back up a little bit. How did this idea come about?
Oh, we were sitting around at an event, I think, weren't we, Halloween
yes.
Man, and talking about the needs that the mansion had, and Halloween Man has graciously offered to share his collection as a fundraiser. We need a ramp at the mansion so that people who are handicapped can at least access the first floor. And the cost from the architect, if we build it like the one I would like to have, is about $40,000.
So, yeah.
That's a lot.
Does it? So, will this ramp come off the front end, the front doorway?
No. There's okay. actually a house in Quincy called the Lorenzo Bull House. When you look at that historic building, you don't see a ramp. What they've done is they've taken architectural features off of the house, and under the porte-cochere, which is the carriage porch portion of the mansion, at the rear, we would take the balustrade, that's the rails and stuff, and build like a little fence with a gate in it, and then behind that, the ramp would go to the north and then cut back up to the west porch, and then you wouldn't really see it from the street. And that's my goal, because the facade of that house is beautiful, and the thought of walking up there and a ramp hitting you in the face is just not aesthetically what we would like.
That's kind of why I asked you the question, because I knew that would be tough to figure out how to do that, but it sounds like you have a plan. So you said, let's do this, and Halloween Man said,
sure.
I've got what you need.
Yes.
So what kind of stuff are we going to see?
Well, you'll see a whole range of things from about 1920 up to 1970. And it gives you a whole variety of how Halloween changed throughout the years. Mainly it'll be decorations, party favors, costumes. A lot of people will walk through and, depending on their age, can pick out things that they will remember. From lanterns that people used to carry in the streets when they would do their Halloween scares, and so a lot of that kind of stuff. I always kept a lid on what I would collect. If I could remember it, I didn't want it. So I wanted everything before my time.
Good idea.
And like I said, the graphics are totally different in the older stuff. It's a little more scarier than what we see today. Today, Halloween's kind of cutesy, and so to see it is a different thing. And
So you had a love of Halloween for a while?
Yes, always. Yes, yes. Growing up with it. I grew up in a small
town.
I don't know. It was the idea of the scaries. I love horror movies and things like that. So growing up in a small town, the experience of Halloween, I think, is different than what city kids experienced because you had a safety net of a small town, and you could go door to door, and everybody had their porch lights on, and every kid went out, and it was kind of a holiday that nobody was left out of. It didn't matter who you were, you know. So you'd dress up, you'd make your costumes, and you know, it was just the thrill of it. I used to get in trouble a lot at home for having the Halloween stuff out early.
Well, you know, the idea of a place to go and see these vintage pieces, it's not going to be a haunted house. It's going to be a display that is historically accurate, and that appeals to the mansion.
That's what the question I was going to ask you. Are you going to, is this good for kids? Is it good for adults? You know, we're going to be wetting ourselves when somebody jumps out from behind something on the porch. Okay, nothing like that.
Nothing like that.
Good.
It'll be to come and see Halloween Man's beautiful things.
Yeah. You've seen him?
No. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's keeping it hidden behind a curtain somewhere.
Well, and he's even going to set it up. I don't get to do that either. Mystery.
I was going to say, with shades drawn, even?
Well, I don't know that I'll pull the shades down, but he's going to surprise us all, I think.
Before we get too far down, and I get in trouble this all the time, the dates again, the hours, the cost, and on down the road.
It's going to be held on Thursday, October the 25th, and Friday the 26th, from 4 to 9 p.m. And then on Saturday, from 10 in the morning till 6 in the afternoon or evening. The cost is $7.50 for an adult and $5 for children under 12. And again, the reason for this is a fundraiser for the ramp. So we're thinking a couple could come and see the exhibit for $15.
Hmm. How much stuff you got?
Oh, I would say at least 3,000 pieces, if not more. Yes. It encompasses everything from paper plates to napkins to nut cups to noisemakers to die cuts to costumes. German items were the most precious of the items that were made, and their work was just extraordinary when it came to Halloween. And you'll see a lot of things people, like I said, depending on your age, you will remember, and if you don't, you're going to see something you've never seen before.
I see in the flyer that Susan gave me, there's a picture. Is that one of the things that'll be displayed? Or
no.
Okay.
No.
That's just a picture you found somewhere. Okay.
No, I got those to put on posters.
How has Halloween changed over the years? Obviously, you are a student of this particular holiday.
Like I said, it's became more cutesy. The 60s, you can really see the taming of it. Came down, not so adult-like. Before it was, you know, people made their own crepe paper costumes, and there were companies like Denison that put out books, and they're called the Holy Bibles of Halloween collecting, and they were called bogey books, and they showed you how to make all the decorations. You know, you live in an area where city people got a different sort of decoration than we got here, mm-hmm. in Jacksonville or Winchester, anywhere like that. Here we would cut a pumpkin. There, a pumpkin wasn't so available, so they bought paper mache pumpkins and paper pumpkins, and these were meant for lanterns. You put candles in them, and they would glow, and so not many of them survived. There are still a lot out there, but not in this area. It's been hard to find it in this area. I really had to spread out to find it, you know.
I would think, yeah, you know, it'd be hard to maintain, hard to keep in its original shape.
Well, and depending on which part of the United States you'd live in, the more moisture you have, when I say the mache pumpkins are like paper pulp, egg carton material, mm-hmm. used to be the old cardboard type. And so it's a thick form of that, and moisture kills it.
Sure.
Sure does.
Starts looking like the deflated Halloween decorations that are used these days.
Yes,
it lays across the front yard. Yeah.
I told you both that occasionally I find myself reading an article somewhere, and then this picture will pop up and say, historical photos of the fast, which always sucks me. And I start going through there and scrolling through there, and inevitably, they will have pictures of people dressed in quote-unquote costumes.
Right.
The pictures themselves scare me. It's amazing the way people dressed back then, and I don't know whether that was taken by some of the horror flicks now and sort of adapted to that. And
It could be. The costume thing changed. It's kind of like the candy thing. I remember asking my mom one time, when did she remember the door-to-door thing? And she said she kind of remembered it really popular in the 50s. The late 50s is when it really started. And I don't know if that was to get kids off the streets from burning out houses and letting all the farm animals out of the barns and doing, you know, kind of that thing.
That's the trick part of it.
Yes. And then the costumes changed. And what I remember as a kid, we would go to Woolworths. And there would be these whole display of these box costumes. Mm-hmm. Ben Cooper was a big name in it. Collegeville costumes. They were really meant to be disposable. You wore them a year and you could throw them away. I mean, at the time, they were maybe 95 cents or even less than that. I mean, I know that was a lot of money to a lot of people in 1965 or 69 or 70. That was still, you know, a waste. When growing up, we made most of our own costumes. We put together our own thing, and that's the way it was. And in the early years, masks were made of gauze, and they were painted gauze. And so when you see those old photographs, mainly, that's normally what you're looking at are things like that. It was a little scarier looking than today.
I mean, Mike Myers and Halloween, I swear that's where all that came from. And so, you know, and I remember when my kids were young, we still had the, I don't know what the character's name was, shortbread baby or something like that. But they were just, like you said, plastic
masks.
And I never thought about it at the time. But they really didn't last more than a year.
No, no.
Yeah. And you just buy them and throw them away.
And to find them now is even worse. No, it sticks with you. Yes, makes your mouth wet. Your mouth got wet.
And then you start associating it with the candy you would get, and then, of course, it's all good memories from that point. So through the years, you know, you talked about outhouses. You talked about letting the farm animals out.
Yes.
Were there more tricks than treats early on?
Yes. I think there is. I don't really study all of the history of Halloween because Halloween has a special meaning for me just for my time. So I never pulled into it the Druid aspect or any of that sort of thing. But I think it was kind of a trickster thing, and I think that you could do the trick or you could get a
treat,
which wasn't really candy. It was more like cakes or cookies or something like that.
And I think they even called it like
a, there was even a thing called like Beggar's Day or something that was kind of like a Halloween thing. I'm not quite sure about that, but I know it changed when candy became very popular.
Oh, yeah. It's taken on a whole different meaning, and adults have kind of taken it over to a great extent.
It always amazes me at Trick or Treat, because now the kids in the neighborhood where I live, they know me as the pumpkin guy. And when they come to see the pumpkins all lit up inside the house. And so I open up the front door and their parents come in and everybody likes to stand and look. And so it's exciting. This might be the first year they won't get to see it because it'll be in boxes.
You know, when I was little, there was a house in Lewiston where I grew up that when you knocked on the door, they answered the door, and they were in costume, too.
Right. Oh, yeah,
And they would try to guess who you were, and you had to sign the guest book, and then you got your homemade popcorn ball. You
know, I remember that,
It was wonderful.
Occasionally you get the apple, and you go, come on. You wanted the candy bars. You wanted the small candy bars. I also remember, and I did this once and only once, dressed up as the... I started to say dummy. I am a dummy, but dressed up like a bum or something like that, that wasn't alive. And I'd sit in the, and somebody would walk up, and of course, all I have to do is stand up, and everybody loses it. But when a small child came up, and I didn't see the small child, I was trying to avoid doing that, stood up, cried. I said, okay, that's it, I'm done. I'm no longer doing that. That's no longer a fun idea. I was shooting more for the teens who came up to the door. Let's take a break. We're more than halfway through this morning's program, a commercial break, and we're right back. Back on the air. Again, Halloween Man's with us, and Susan Harden, and we're talking about vintage Halloween display at Governor Duncan Mansion, October 25th, 26th, and 27th. We were just talking off the air about decorating the house. Is that relatively new? It been going on a while?
No, that's the German items that are called die cuts, and it's a thick cardboard, and it's a textured cardboard. It doesn't, you know, and when I say the word die cut, I'm talking about the cardboard things you bought to hang in the windows.
Yeah.
A lot of people hung them in windows. Now, at that time, people didn't hang them in the windows. They were inside the house. So they were more decorative for inside the house. They were on easels where they would set up on tables. And they're a thick cardboard. You're going to have to see what I'm talking about to understand it. They almost look sculpted.
And you need to come to this display to see
it. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So did you give me a count? I mean, how many items do you think you'll have there?
Oh, I'll say there will at least be close to 2,000 items there easily.
And how will they be arranged, Susan?
Well, we have a gentleman who's helping by building some artificial walls that he can attach things to, and then there will be tables. So you will walk in the front door of the mansion and enter the parlors, coming in through the south parlor and go around the parlor and then back out the north door of the parlor, and the parlor will be full.
And again, a lot of these things are not designed to scare you.
No, they were designed for the holiday, if you want to call it a holiday. It was for decorative. It was for parties. It was, you know, we've gone this extreme where, you know, everybody puts a jack-o'-lantern out by October 1st. Mm-hmm. Well, at that time when a lot of this was being made, you would have put it out the night before, possibly, or just that day you would have decorated the house for the event that was coming that night, which would have been a Halloween party, which is totally different than today. You know, it was donuts and apple cider and apples, and then there were little picks that went into the fruits and things, and these have been saved by people throughout the years, and the little picks of all kinds of things that decorated the fruits, the donuts, the table. There were paper plates, square ones, octagon-shaped ones were more popular in the 1920s, 30s, into the 40s. By the time the 60s come, they went round. And so you can tell the age of a paper plate by the shape of it. Napkins. And it's not just like one design. There were companies, whole array of companies that would do their own designs, and they become highly sought after by collectors, the napkins and the paper plates and nut cups and things like this. Some you could put together, some you could buy, you know, just depending on how much money you had to spend.
And you know, Gary, the good thing about this display is that Halloween Man will be there. So questions about what this is, what it was used for, he's going to be there to answer those questions.
Are you going to be appropriately garbed, or
no?
Okay. This is not about costumes.
No,
this is
not about... for me anyway.
Okay, all right, we got a final 5 minutes. Let's take a break. We'll be right back. Let's do a quick Sue Harden and the Halloween Manor with us. Let's do a quick update on the mansion. What have you been able to do to the mansion this year? The kind of give us a general on what's needed next.
Well, if you haven't been there in a while, you should come. The dining room is stunning. We took off 3 layers of wallpaper, repaired the ceiling, put up new crown molding. All 3 levels of the hall, that's the central hall, have been painted. Last weekend, I took up the icky pink carpet that was there and restored the floors are back to the wood. I was able to get some oriental rugs, which would have been much more time appropriate. Right now, they're working on the west side porch and the carriage porch, restoring that. Of course, the ramp is near and dear to my heart because we have a member who is going to be turning 99 this year, and she still gets around better than I do, but there are those of us and people who I want in the mansion, people who come for weddings, people who come for parties. They can't get in, so this ramp is critical in my mind. The west third floor balcony porch still needs to be restored. And I would be remiss if I didn't say the Governor Duncan Association, Gary, has been absolutely critical in keeping the mansion up. The DAR can't do it alone. You don't make it on $4 tours and an ice cream social. Yeah. And this community has been very, very good, just like Halloween Man, in stepping forward and helping us to fund the things that we need to do to the mansion.
Structurally, the mansion's in good shape. It's solid. There's no problem with that.
The mansion itself is in pretty good shape. We need some tough pointing on the chimneys.
Sure.
The porches, as I said, are being restored. I'd love to refinish the floors. There's always something. The house is 185 years old, so you know it's going to be a constant drain.
Sure.
But it's a piece of history that's not really well-known in the Jacksonville area. And it's too bad because it's a beautiful 17-room mansion, same age as New Salem. It's a little bit different because Mrs. Duncan came, her father was one of the founders of the New York Stock Exchange, and she came to Illinois with money, and that house was built with that money.
Vintage Halloween display, October 25th, 26th, 4 to 9 p.m., October 27th, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. You're looking forward to this, aren't you?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I love the show.
It'll be interesting. Adults admission $750, under $12, $5, and you're going to set aside the money to build this ramp.
That's exactly every penny.
All right, very good. Thank you for coming back. Appreciate
thank
it.
You for having us.
Thank you.
And Halloween Man, thank you. And on behalf thank of the, they probably already said thank yous, but that's good too. We need a break. We've got CBS News coming up next.